Hello, and welcome to Pet News and Animal Information from the Talking Information Center, Marshfield, Massachusetts. This is Jane Simpson, and today we're starting with Modern Dog. Gifted dogs learn new words by eavesdropping. Gifted dogs can learn new words just by overhearing them. Is your dog among this rare group of gifted word learners? By Tracy Tong. Trey Hanley Millman was scrolling on Instagram when she saw a call-out for dogs that could identify the name of toys. She remembered looking at Shira, her then 6-year-old mixed-breed rescue, and thinking, what's the big deal? Shira does that. Shira knows lots of words and not just names of toys, says Hanley Millman, an actor and singer who began her career at New York City's Lincoln Center. If I say, I have to vacuum, she's at the vacuum before I am. I could ask her to get a particular toy, and she would get it. I never trained her. She knew them just from me telling her its name. Hanley Millman posted a video of Shira in their Rumson, New Jersey home and tagged the Genius Dog Challenge. She was surprised to hear from them soon after. After an initial test, Shira was accepted into the study. She now knows the names of 323 toys, with the number steadily climbing, an ability which is exceedingly rare in dogs, reports the research paper, published in Science, entitled Dogs with a Large Vocabulary of Object Labels Learn New Labels by Overhearing, like 1.5-year-old infants. The multi-year study, led by cognitive researcher and animal trainer Dr. Shani Dror, calls these exceptional dogs gifted word learners. Dror began the study in 2021. It is part of a larger research project ongoing since 2018. While doing her PhD at Iotof Loran University in Budapest, Hungary, Dror continued the work as a postdoctoral researcher at the Cleaver Dog Lab of the University of Vet Medicine in Vienna, Austria. Only gifted word learners have been found to learn the names of objects spontaneously when playing with their owners. Their ability to learn these object labels by overhearing conversations and interactions between their owners had not been tested until Dror's study. It was found that these gifted word learners could later identify objects by their labels, even if the labels and objects were not presented simultaneously. The gifted dogs accomplished this by monitoring the speaker's gaze, picking up communicative cues, and extracting keywords from sentences. The researchers got the idea for the study from dog owners who would discuss ordering a pizza. The dog would come into the room holding a toy pizza. Dror told Modern Dog, there was another case when two owners were speaking on the phone and the dog got whatever it was they were talking about. This gave me the idea that they were probably paying attention to their owners. We wanted to understand to what extent. The ability is uncommon. Most dogs don't even learn the names of two objects, she says. Proud dog owners may protest Dror's observation. Owners will tell you their dog knows the name of the ball because you hide the ball in the room and you tell the dog to get the ball and the dog gets it, says Dror. But the dog didn't initially associate the word ball with the specific object. It most likely just understood that when you say ball, it needs to bring you the object that's rewarded. When you try to tell them, now bring me the rope, you find that often a dog does not understand that a word, a label, can refer to a specific object. Furthermore, gifted word learners don't need any visual cues to identify that you're supposed to bring the ball and not the rope, or the rope and not the ball, says Dror. Normal family dogs. Like Shira, the participating gifted dogs located around the world were assessed and chosen after their owners contacted the researchers. All of the dogs in the study are completely normal family dogs, says Dror. Along with their owners, they participated on a volunteer basis. While the researchers saw a few border collies among the gifted dogs, other breeds included a German Shepherd, a Labrador Retriever, a miniature Australian Shepherd, a Blue Heeler, and Australian Shepherd mix. Many of the owners didn't think their dogs were special until they heard about our research, says Dror. The study. Dror and her team met with each dog owner online to explain how to expose the dogs to the toys. Every time they ran the protocol, they recorded the session and sent it to me, and I could give them feedback on what they were doing and what they should do differently, she says. Among the experiments in the study were two with a combined total of 14 individual gifted word learners. The research team tested 10 gifted dogs in each of the two situations. The addressed condition, where owners introduced two new toys and repeatedly labeled them while interacting directly with the dog, and the overheard condition, with the same dog and owner pairs, where the dog passively watched as their owners talked to another person about the toys without addressing the dog at all. In the overheard scenario, we would say the name of it over and over, but also described it, and then did it with another toy. It was only me and Paul having a conversation about the toy, passing it back and forth, discussing it, something like, "Oh, I like this duck. Do you like the duck? Oh, yes, it's a pretty duck." We did this for 2 minutes, twice a day. Shira would watch, but we ignored her. It was her eavesdropping on our conversation. We were never to look at her. In both the addressed and overheard conditions, the dogs heard the name of a different new toy for a total of only 8 minutes, distributed across several brief exposure sessions. To test whether the dogs had learned the new labels, the toys were placed in a different room, and the owners asked the dogs to retrieve each toy by name. With 7 out of 10 dogs able to identify and retrieve the toys introduced in the overheard scenario, the study concluded that gifted word learners can learn novel object labels by eavesdropping on interactions between people. The word also needed to be for an object that has meaning or value to the dog. I don't think we can expect them to learn things about the stock market. Ultimately, Dror concluded that if a dog can learn 3 or 4 object labels, they can likely easily reach a vocabulary of over 100 labels. The number of words that Shira knows grows weekly, says Hanley Milnan, who tests her dog on 40 to 60 toys per day on a rotational basis. While Dror says that dogs like Shira are very rare, there has to be a natural inclination of the dog, and the owner needs to be on board too. In Shira's case, the owner gave the dog the opportunity to express her talent. They have to have the owner invest the time in them to be able to learn. Dror was surprised at how confident the dogs were in their ability to learn. "It's amazing to see them in action," she says. "When they hear a label and they know what it is, they immediately go pick the toy up and bring it back. It's amazing to see when they have no doubt. Many of the dogs were almost perfect." Gifted dogs are similar to 18-month-old children. The research results suggest that gifted word learner dogs possess sociocognitive skills functionally parallel to those of 18-month-old children, who can acquire novel words by overhearing third-party interactions. The study draws a parallel between dogs and children, both of which are equipped with a flexible toolkit to learn labels under varying conditions. We demonstrated that gifted word learner dogs have flexible skills for learning object labels, some of which are functionally similar to those possessed by children in their first years of life. However, we can't say kids and dogs are equally smart because in some specific cognitive skills, dogs do them similarly to children, but others not. What happens underneath the hood is probably different, she says. We see our dogs doing a behavior that looks similar to what a human might do, but the cognitive process is very different. I think attributing human thoughts to dogs is often doing them a big disservice. We should try to interpret them as dogs and not as humans. Being published in Science was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, says Dror, who thanked her German shepherd, Midos, who died the day she submitted the article. In the acknowledgments, "It's the dream of most scientists. I honestly didn't think I would get there. I think the last time they published a purely behavioral study with dogs was almost 20 years ago. What the study can teach dog owners. Although the findings in these studies cannot be replicated with typical dogs, nor do researchers understand why certain dogs have this special ability, Dror hopes the study will change the way people look at all pets. In the dog training community, there's a lot of emphasis on associative learning, she says. I hope people will pay more attention to how they socially interact with their animals and try to intentionally use social cues when teaching their dogs. Shift our gaze from our dog to the object of our attention, things like that. Shira, now 9, recently started a new study for the Genius Dog Challenge. It's really fun for both of us. And fascinating, says Hanley Millman. I think it's made her a happier dog. People think exercise is everything, especially for active dogs, but for dogs like her, it's not enough. In the summer, she can swim for a couple of hours, and you would think she would be tired. First thing she will do is come in the house and start piling up toys at my feet. Only after a game does she feel complete and takes a nap. It's become an important part of her life. Hanley Millman's personal goal for Shira is to learn 400 toys by summer. This also means regular stops at the PetSmart clearance bin for more toys, she laughs, and jokes about being her dog's stage mom. I want to know how far she can go. And continuing from Modern Dog, can these dogs really talk? Can dogs talk using button soundboards, or is it just clever conditioning? A new documentary special explores the science behind the viral phenomenon by Casey Gill. Dogs, as a saying goes, are man's best friend. If you ever fantasize that your four-legged bestie might one day be able to talk, you probably aren't alone. But while dogs speaking like humans is biologically out of the question, new technologies are making verbal communication possible. Meet Stella, the Catahoula Blue Heeler mix and viral sensation who has been using buttons to communicate with her owner, Christina Hunger, for nearly 8 years. The duo are featured in the new Nova one-hour documentary special, Can Dogs Talk?, where Hunger, who's also a TikTok star and author of How Stella Learned to Talk, and her dog are featured. Hunger initially got the idea to try button training through her work as a child speech therapist. Most dogs know simple terms and associated actions, such as go out, walk, and sit. But her years of work as a pediatric language pathologist with nonverbal children inspired her to take things one step further. Kids are so often underestimated when they're not able to talk with verbal speech, and it was my job to find another way for them to communicate. Oftentimes, that was through a device where you can push a button, and the device says the word out loud, she explains. Around the same time that Hunger brought home puppy Stella, she was dog-sitting for a friend whose pet would ring a doorbell to indicate a need, but it would take some time to figure out what exactly the request was for. I remember having a light bulb moment and thinking, why don't we just have a different tool for each need? If dogs understand words, then why can't they also say words through a device, she began to wonder. It was then she noticed similarities between Stella's communication style and human toddlers just before they began talking. She would bark to get my attention, like a child would cry, and she was starting to understand words, and I remember just looking at her thinking, if she were a child, I would expect her to start talking soon. But dogs can't talk, so what's next for her? Hunger explains. With limited resources to develop any kind of technology, she ordered buttons that allow you to record audio and tested the waters. Recording words for things she thought Stella may want to say, like food, water, go outside. If we were going to go outside, I'd press that button, show her how she could press it, then take her outside to show that she could say a word using the button. Hunger went on, adding there was trial and error in the early days to train Stella on the concept. The first 2 weeks, she didn't even look at the buttons or look at me when I was using them. But I knew from my work with kids that sometimes it really does take a long time to even get interested. 4 weeks in, Stella was showing she could understand and communicate with Hunger through an initial 3 buttons. But as more time went on, Hunger found that Stella would use the buttons to create phrases to observe something rather than communicate a need. For instead of just using the water button to ask for a refill, she would press it when Christina was watering plants. This marked an example of Stella using the term water for something other than needing some for herself. So she used water to talk about me watering my plants, not when she needed her bowl to be refilled. So I was like, oh, she's just pointing something out here, Christina explained. In the years since, Hunger has had two children and has found that Stella now uses the buttons to ask about her son Max's whereabouts. Stella's untaught ability to seemingly use the buttons for general commentary purposes was significant, Hunger says, and encouraged her to add more words to her dog's repertoire, eventually expanding her vocabulary to 48 words. In the documentary, Stella is seen using the buttons to communicate feelings and emotions, in one case using a button to say, "Love you," to Christina, who replies, "Love you, Stella," back. In another clip, Stella is seen alone at home, pressing the button for where, seeming to inquire where her family has gone. We left our apartment one day and set up a camera just to see what she would do while we were gone. I had never heard her make a sound like that, referencing the crying sound Stella was making. It was heartbreaking. Still, there are skeptics. Are dogs like Stella actually talking, creating complex context phrases, or just pushing the buttons they were trained to push? Comparative psychologist Dr. Federico Rosano was featured in that documentary aims to find out. He's leading the largest animal communication study in history, analyzing data from thousands of dogs recruited from around the globe in search of an answer. I have a PhD in linguistics. I was studying humans and human communication, and I got very interested in nonverbal communication. His team's canine study, begun in 2020, enlisted Bunny, another dog famous for using talking buttons. Then others started signing up. We got more than 10,000 people. Participation hasn't slowed, with 10 to 20 new dog owners signing up every week. Now, over 5 years in, Rosano says there is evidence to support the theory that dogs like Stella are understanding what they're saying. I believe from what I'm seeing, there's pretty strong evidence that some of these dogs are using the buttons in a communicative way. Pet dogs can be successfully taught by their owners to associate words recorded onto soundboard buttons to their outcomes in the real world, and they respond appropriately to these words, even when they are presented in the absence of any other cues, such as the owner's body language. Interested in trying the buttons with your dogs? Remember that, like humans, not all dogs are equally skilled or motivated. Part of the study is figuring out what factors affect the successful acquisition of the skill. Age and breed come into play, but not necessarily in ways one would think. Older dogs have shown enthusiasm to learn assistive technology too, while younger ones can seemingly learn wider vocabularies. There's no one breed that is the majority of the top performers. It's partly a combination of training and how the human interacts with the dogs, but also their willingness to communicate and getting some kind of benefit from this. Rosanna has some pointers to getting started. Start with like a limited set, maybe 4 to 6 buttons. Keeping in mind there's no guarantee your dog will go along with it. The reality is there's quite a few dogs who never take to it because they aren't interested, which often happens if they have other ways of communicating with you that work. Patience is ultimate key. In the beginning, button training does look a lot like you know you're using a tool to get something in return, but it can quickly evolve past that to be much more complex, she notes. I just really hope that it can show what's possible. Interested pet owners can sign up online at cclab.ucsd.edu to join the study led by Dr. Rosano and his team. Now from Modern Cat, America's favorite pet, Sammy the Champion, a ragdoll beauty. Introducing Sammy, the flame point ragdoll cat, whose baby blues instantly captivated the internet. This special boy has officially been crowned America's favorite pet of 2026, and one look at that angelic face makes it clear why pet lovers across the country fell under his spell. Tucked inside her charming Detroit metro home, Sammy and his human, Debbie, share a quiet, blissful life filled with comfort, laughter, and the kind of easygoing retirement most people dream of. Before Sammy, Debbie always had dogs, but curiosity about the ragdoll breed finally won out. Adopting a cat turned out to be the best decision she ever made. 8 years later, he's still her constant companion, making every day brighter with his sweet nature, gentle charm, and playful mischief. Ragdoll cats are famous for their docile temperament and affectionate personalities, and Sammy is no exception. Debbie laughs as she explains how he insists on being wherever she is and faithfully greets her at the door like clockwork. He adores toys as long as they're brand new, of course, and has perfected his own version of hockey, batting them between his paws like a tiny pro athlete. I'll pick him up to give him kisses on top of his head. Now, if I ask him for a kiss, he pushes his head right into me. This sweet habit has since evolved into gentle head bumps whenever he wants attention. Occasionally, he'll climb to a high ledge and simply wait to be admired. When he's feeling especially cheeky, he'll accidentally knock over something he knows he shouldn't, silly boy. It's easy to see why his cat mom can't stop taking photos of him. Sammy is a photogenic supermodel who happily accepts belly rubs as payment. Debbie says the most exciting part of the competition was finally sharing years' worth of her favorite photos with the world. But the greatest reward of all was helping support animals in need. Sammy can proudly add this to his resume, right alongside turning a lifelong dog person into a devoted cat lover. Well done, Sammy. And next are some other cats who won America's Favorite Pet other awards. The Perfect Companions. Meet the unforgettable feline finalists. Mr. Midge. Mr. Midge is an exotic American shorthair who turned one in January. In the last year, he's been a light of hope for Aisha's family. The sweetest and most devoted companion, his greatest quality is his devotion to Aisha's mom, Jan, as she navigates Alzheimer's. He takes his role seriously, always close by, on duty, and never letting her feel alone. Personal space is simply not part of his care plan. Whether he's offering comfort through cuddles, quiet companionship, or simply his presence, Mr. Midge brings warmth, routine, and so much love into her days. He may not understand Alzheimer's, but he understands her, and that makes all the difference. We are so grateful to have been part of this experience and feel honored to be named runner-up. What truly mattered most to Mr. Midge's family was raising awareness of Alzheimer's and sharing how a loving, devoted companion like him can make such a meaningful difference. Next is Asia. This domestic short-haired tabby, complete with a sleek black stripe down her back and matching accents on her paws, was named after the amazing 4-month backpacking journey her owner Ashley took across Asia. Now Asia radiates that same joy. She's energetic, endlessly happy, and always ready to turn a quiet day into a special moment. Recently settled in North Carolina, Ashley says Asia has been the best companion in her move to a new place. With family far away, this playful tabby fills the home with personality, whether she's batting spring toys under the furniture, again, or proudly playing fetch with her beloved blue ball. Ashley is happy that her beloved baby gained some recognition and helped other animals along the way. And lastly is Jill. At 4 years old, Jill is living proof that oftentimes the sassiest girls have the biggest hearts. This Russian blue, known for her lightning-fast zoomies and impressively long tail, had a rough start before landing exactly where she belongs, with Ellen, her 88-year-old human. Her daughter Nancy found Jill and brought her home at just 3 weeks old. The rest is history. Named as a sweet nod to Ellen's other cat, Jack, yes, it's a full Jack and Jill situation, Jill lives up to the storybook charm. Whether she's scratching the door for treats, shaking hands like a little businesswoman, or sprinting over to greet Ellen, Jill brings excitement to life. She's more than a pet, she is family. And full-time entertainment wrapped in silver fur. Continuing in Modern Cat, Body and Soul, 5 Minutes to a Happier Cat. Why Your Cat Should Play with Their Food by Amanda Caron. Many cat parents rightly worry their cats are bored, especially indoor cats who nap more than they play and quickly lose interest in toys. When playtime falls flat, it's common to wonder how to keep our cats mentally engaged and happy. What if the solution isn't another toy, but a different way of offering something your cat likely already enjoys? Food puzzles are one of my favorite ways to enhance the lives of cats at any age. They provide both physical and mental stimulation in a way that feels instinctive while also encouraging problem-solving and boosting confidence. Foraging is an instinctive behavior in many cats. Outdoor cats naturally forage. This behavior is an inherent part of their biology, regardless of whether they are well-fed house pets or feral cats relying on hunting for survival. Most indoor cats are largely deprived the opportunity to forage for their food. Enter food puzzles. With their sharp eyesight and amazing sense of smell, cats can easily detect where there is tasty food. A food puzzle challenges them to figure out the steps needed to get to it. This taps directly into their natural strengths, curiosity, intelligence, and persistence. Research in cat welfare has shown that food puzzles encourage cats to engage in natural foraging behaviors, which can improve mental stimulation and overall well-being, especially for indoor cats who generally lack opportunities to hunt. Food puzzles benefit many types of cats, including those who are highly food-motivated, have extra energy, or show little interest in traditional toys. I've introduced food puzzles to kittens under 6 months old and senior cats approaching 20. The key is matching the puzzle to each cat's abilities and motivation. For beginners or less motivated cats, it's best to start with something simple. Household items like a muffin tin or an egg carton make excellent starter puzzles. As our cats gain confidence, you can introduce more complex options. For highly food-motivated or agile cats, puzzles with sliders, hidden compartments, or multiple sections provide a greater challenge. Food puzzles aren't just a way to feed your cat. They provide mental stimulation, encourage natural behaviors, and help build confidence. Every small success adds up, keeping cats curious, engaged, and more confident in their world. Making puzzles part of their routine gives cats daily enrichment that's both fun and rewarding. And that concludes today's reading. Thank you for listening. Stay well and take care of yourself and each other.